Listen very carefully to that prophecy that the Lord graciously gave us. And our title today is The Word and the World Do Not Mix. The Word and the World Do Not Mix. Scripture shows us this from Genesis to Revelation. But we're going to talk about mixtures today, because many elements, chemicals, are all brought together and mixed. And some mix together and some don't. And I'm reminded in the book of Daniel, the image of the beast. And we just look at this briefly in Daniel chapter 2, book of Daniel, and we're going to look at verses 31 to 35. I know we all know this, but here is a clear analogy of the things of the spirit and the things of the world, and they don't mix. Never have done, and they never will. The reason being is, and it's not rocket science, the world has fallen into sin. And let's take this up in verse 31. And this is where Daniel interprets the dream that's given to King Nebuchadnezzar, his dreams. And here it speaks about world empires. Some that have come up and gone, and a final one, and the final empire that will be put down finally by the Lord Jesus Christ, who will set up his kingdom forever. This is Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 to 35. You, O king, were watching, and behold a great image, the great image whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its limbs, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while it stood, was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold, were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And wind carried them away, so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That stone is the rock of Jesus Christ, and of that rock that you stand on. And that is why we are in preparation to rule and reign with him, to finally put down all of these kingdoms that have rebelled against Almighty God. But we notice, don't we, its form. And we notice its feet. And this feet, the feet are very, very important, that hold the image. Because the image can stand, or does stand, on two elements, iron and clay. And we know that iron and clay do not mix. The word and the world do not mix. And finally, this image falls and is completely swept away by the wind, and no trace of it, these great empires that once stood, will be seen anymore. Well, the title today we're calling is The World and the Word Do Not Mix. It's interesting, isn't it, that we who cook, at times, maybe not always follow a recipe, but when you want to do something different, we get the recipe book out and we have a look at it, and that recipe shows us how to produce something. And all its mixtures, its contents, are to complement each other. That's the nature of cooking. That's why recipes go back centuries. And so on, because that is a fine analogy. And we find that with the word that we receive twice a week, we are to mix something with that word, and that word is faith. And when we speak of faith, we speak of you, your life, your commitment, your consecration, your whole being, completely reliant on Almighty God and his word. That's what we mean by faith. Sometimes that word faith can be a little bit abstract, but it actually means your whole being is believing the word of God. Nothing is left out. No substance is left out of the mixture. It's a entire, complete mixture that produces that which you are believing for. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I hold the Bible in my hands, there are many times I say to myself, this is a creative word. This Bible, the Word of God, I hold in my hand, is more real than what I see, what I feel, what I touch, whatever. That is reality, it is eternal, and it will live forever. Everything I see around me has a lifespan, and will eventually disappear. The same as all these kingdoms that we have read about here, including the kingdom that Antichrist is about soon to control over the earth. Yeah. But it's only for a season. And it will disappear. Because it's not eternal. Everything that we so often are governed by, influenced by, actually is not going to last. Are you battling unbelief? Are you searching to the Lord? You're looking to him, crying out. Well, brothers and sisters, it ain't going to last. Mm-hmm. It's only for a season. If you're in pain, it's only for a season. Whatever our experiences are, is only for a season in light of the Word of God. And when you pick up this Bible, this is what is eternal. This is what will stand forever. And it never, ever fails. You see, Israel failed one basic thing. She didn't mix faith with that which she heard, which Hebrews 4 tells us. And as a result of it, she perished. You see, she was still so governed by fear, unbelief, emotions, those feelings, all those things that had to be brought under control by the work of the Spirit and by the cross that we walk by. They will otherwise get out of control. Fear, if not dealt with by the Holy Spirit, will eventually get you to compromise or to run away or whatever it is. We see the nature of what fear has done when we read the scriptures. When Israel was not walking right with God, the enemy took over, and what caused them to run away, to flee? Fear. Every time. And we do exactly the same. So it is paramount that we mix faith with that which we hear. And now you can say to me, well, I hear what you're saying, Pastor, and it makes sense, but you know, doing it, applying it, is another thing. Well, let me give you something very basic and very simple. Firstly, before you come to the meeting, or through the week, pray for the word. Pray for that which you are going to hear. And in your prayers, not only praying for the word, which helps me and our brother here to deliver that word, but it also prepares you, it prepares your heart. And the second thing you can do in your prayer, you can ask God, Lord, what I hear, please help me to mix faith with that which I hear. Now, if you pray that, is God not going to answer your prayer? Huh? Is he not going to answer your prayer? Every head is nodding. And we're also smiling as well. Because we know when we pray a prayer like that, we can't doubt if we try, can we? Because we know it's going to be answered. Why can we not have the same when we read about healing, when we read about blessing, when we read about God answering our prayers and so forth? Why is it suddenly there's a battle on? Think about it. Because that's what God's doing. He can get us to a place where when we pray or we lay hands on the sick, whatever, we can't doubt. Can't doubt. Because it's God's work. It's God's work. Why? Because we're mixing faith with that which we're hearing. We're no longer mixing the world and my wants and my lusts and my desires. Yes, I heard that prophecy. And God clearly brought that out, you see. That's why our mixtures are still tainted. We're not following the recipe as we should be. We're going along, we're thinking, oh, I'll add a bit of that. Oh, that'll do. Let's put that in there and everything. And then we wonder why it doesn't rise in the oven. Or it doesn't taste right. I know, I've done it. I've thought in cooking, no, I'll alter this a bit. I'll try a bit of that or a bit of that. And think, oh, I need that ingredients, but never mind, I haven't got it. I'll use a substitute. And honestly, it's awful when it comes out. When you get all upset, you get angry. Why didn't this turn up properly, everything? Because we didn't follow the recipe. It's not rocket science. And yet we want to do it our way. You see? But we're gradually learning. But Israel failed this, good and proper. And that's why she's there in Scripture, as a reminder to us that she perished in the wilderness. But you see, we've got to mix faith with what we hear. And to mix that faith, and to have that faith, you also have to have a surrendered life up to God. Some people are trying to believe. Now, if you are trying to believe, stop. Because that is a warning. That is telling you something. You don't try to breathe. You don't try to sit on your chair. You instinctively do it. And it is the same with the believing of the Word of God. If our lives are surrendered as a living offering to Him, then that believing becomes automatic. You agree with it. It witnesses to the heart. You place your life, your future, your all on that which you hear. That is what faith is about. When we are trying to believe in a certain area or areas, then God is trying to get our attention, because faith is not about trying. It's about believing. And believing is a rest with Almighty God. And very often, the problem is that there is an area in your life that's not yet fully surrendered to God.
Right.
If you wait before God, He'll show you. And I know that from experience.
Yeah.
So I talk from experience out of these things. Mm. I really do. You think, you know, I know what it's like to get in despair. To think, what else can I do? What else is there? What, I've done everything I know to do. And you think, okay, just continue walking, continue meeting with God, continue coming to the meetings, continue listening to the Word, and in time, God will deal with it. You see, we want God to deal with it now. And probably if He did, we'd run straight out that door. See, that's human nature. So God is in control every time. But the love of the world doesn't mix with God's Word. Let's read again something that we know very, very well. Turn to the Epistle of John, 1 John. John makes it absolutely clear about the love of the Father. You will know if you have love for God, because you'll know where you stand with regard to this world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. 15 to 17 of 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, a lot of people say, you know, you're not to love the world. And I brought this up, and immediately the sort of answers you get, well, I don't love my car. The Lord blessed it to me, you know. And it's just, I don't love it, or I don't love my house, even though I'm blessed and everything. But you see, that's not really what it's actually talking about. That is just the surface. That is just, that's showing a symptom. What he refers to here, he says, the lust of the flesh. That's anything. The law. So it's not just your house, or whatever it is. Lust of the eyes, where your eyes are coveting for some things. You know, you're lusting for it. That one's easy to hide. Because you're looking, you know, so you're lusting for it, aren't you? So one can hide a bit behind that. About the pride of life. Well, I'm very proud. I'm proud of my life, how I live, my education. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of my education and everything. And we can all be puffed up by that. They are the things he's talking about of the world. They're all the things that we let go. The world is passing away, and the lusts of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Mm. Absolutely clear. You see, the love of the world and the things of the world will always draw you back into its control and compromise, and compromise is idolatry. And we all at times still compromise in areas. And really, that is a sign of idolatry. that, and God says he's going to bring down every idol. He's bringing every idol down in our lives, both individually and corporately, in this church. Because the love of the world and the word of God do not mix. And we dare not use the word of God for the things of the world, to claim the things of the world, that I want the things of the world. Some of that went on in the past. I think we heard something of that today in prophecy about prosperity. That is not what the word of God is used for. That word that we have in nature is a sword. And a sword is a very deadly weapon put in the hands of wrong people, or putting a sword into an infant's hand. That is why God guards his word. That is why he guards us individually, and he's training and he's teaching us how to apply and use and believe and live by the word of God. Because it is a blessing, the word, but it is also very deadly. And it is very, very sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That is the nature of the word of God. So we have to be taught these things. It's not naturally within us. But we seem to forget that the word of God in this life, and as we receive it week after week, and as you read and meditate in your own private times, we have to always remember that the word of God is a guide, a leading for us. It's to show us how to walk in this life, is it not? And I'm reminded of Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105, which says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That is why the word of God is so important to us, because it's teaching us how to walk in this world of darkness. Notice its nature, it is a lamp. It is a light. Who is that light given to? Your next door neighbor, your boss at work, whatever. That light is graciously given to each one of us for the walk that he has predestined for us from the foundation of the world. And that is the way you are to walk in it. And the light of the Spirit is going to lighten up as you receive of that word, so you are going to see that light making a pathway through darkness. I see where I'm walking. I see the next step that I'm taking. Now, he doesn't say that that light is going to show you years and years out in the future. No, it doesn't. That lamp, a lamp, the nature of a lamp is that you can walk with it at night. It is to show each footstep. That lamp will not reflect too far away. That lamp is going to show you, which you can visibly see with the eye, how, where you're walking. But it is not going to show you too much. That's the nature of a lamp. You need to remember that. Because if God starts to show you everything, you're not going to start walking by faith. You trust him for every step you take in this world. That's what it's all about. This word that we're talking about this morning, this sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword, this word is a living word. That is why it is so important. It's not just mere printing on pages. This word is breathed out to us. by the life and love of God Almighty Himself. This is His will for our lives, for the world, and for the future. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. No human being can say what these five verses say here. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that is its source. That is where it comes from, always has been, and always will be. He was in the beginning with God. Who was? Jesus. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So Jesus is that light. Jesus is that Word. Look at verses 14 to 16. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. What is so wonderful, we tend to forget this, that what you hear, Jesus came to bear our sins, He came as our Saviour, came in the world to prepare a place for us that we can go to heaven. Yes, that is true. That is true. But look what John opens up. He opens up with a most amazing, glorious statement. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word of God. He is the Word of God, and will always be the Word of God. And the Word of God was nailed to a cross. In other words, the Word of God became flesh, that we could participate of this precious Word, that Word too would live in us, because it says of His fullness we have received. So the very Word, Him the Word, made flesh. He has granted that we share and partake of that as well. Why do we doubt? Why do we look to other sources or whatever? It's all there, ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. And He says, notice the words that he uses truth and grace. No longer under the law of Moses that condemned us every time. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be able to afford all those sacrifices that I'd have to keep taking. No way. And I can't imagine how many I'd have to get in my lifetime. Think of it. Everything's so much better. It's grace, it's truth, of which we have received of Him. And we are witnesses. How are we witnesses? By our changed lives. By being made new, a new creation. We've been brought out of darkness into light. We are the children of the light. Our fellowship can only be of the light. Else you do not have fellowship. And you know if you're saved, because you walk by faith. That is a clear sign and indication that I am His, I am born again, I am filled with the Spirit, because I now walk by faith. My life is sustained and held by the living Word who lives in me. Do you know His Word lives in you, in His fullness? If you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Father in your life, you have His Word in you. You can't separate it. You cannot be separated from this Word. It is your life. You are a part of this. That is why the promises of God are yes and amen. They are your promises given graciously to you by Almighty God. How dare we not believe them or throw them away? Or turn to other means, which we're still doing. Why? Because we still love the world. And we're trying to mix faith with our affections of the world. And that's why we come unstuck. But stay with it. Keep coming. Keep listening. Hear it, because faith comes by hearing that word. But that is ultimately what He's doing. But you know if you're saved, because one of the clear signs is, I walk by faith. And all the while I'm thrusting in the arm of the flesh in areas, I cannot rest until that is finished. That's dealt with. It goes. That's why God doesn't give us any rest. All the while we're still compromising. And I thank Him for that. And I don't want Him to give me any rest. I don't want to be deceived. All the while I'm still looking to the arm of the flesh, I want God to deal with me. Because I walk by faith. Well, we're going to look at four areas now as we bring this to a conclusion. Firstly, what effect does the Word have on me? Now, only you can answer that. But what is it doing to you? What is a meeting like this today doing to you and me? I know I'm just the mouthpiece. But when I listen to the Word, anointed by the Spirit, I'm aware it's changing me. I'm aware it's going right deep inside. And it's going to deal with things. Maybe I don't always see them, but I know it's going to deal with things. And when I hear that word, I am so thankful, so I cannot express the words of gratitude that I am hearing this. What have I done to deserve this? That my ears and eyes and heart have been opened to receive the life of God's word. That is always a reminder to me. And when these quickenings just go on, and I find that I want to talk to God about what I've heard. I need a dialogue with Him. Maybe I don't understand some things, so I go to Him and I ask. And He will, and He will show. So that's the first thing that will be about you with regard to the Word of God. And the second area, do I offer it up to God as an offering with that which I have heard? In other words, prayer. I go before Him and I talk about it, or He has shown me an area to surrender that I up to now didn't want to. I want that. Yeah. Don't take that. And you put it off, and so eventually you've just got to give it over, because it gets too heavy. It becomes such a burden. That comes as you offer what you hear back to God. You are an offering. That is your life. That is my life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are a daily offering coming up as a sweet savour before the Lord. And the word of God, you offer back to him what he has graciously blessed each one of us. You offer it back in agreement, mixing it with faith. And he accepts that. You see, we've not thought about these things sometimes, yet this is what should go on. And thirdly, completely committed to the word that I hear and allow it to be worked out in my daily life. So that which I hear, the word that we hear today, Lord, work that out in my daily life. And he will do it. He will accomplish that. And we will begin to find this supernatural walk that we should walk as Christians. That is why Satan tries to get us held by the world, because he knows if he can do that, you no longer walk supernaturally. Because the world doesn't walk supernaturally. It's bound by its unbelief, its senses, and so on. We should be a supernatural people, walking a supernatural walk, seeing things each day being unfolded in miracles and in a supernatural way. That is what you're saved for. How do I know that? Because you don't belong to this kingdom. You're only in it passing through, but you don't belong to it. You are with Christ seated in heavenly places.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that all up there is a miracle.
Glory to God.
Miracles go on. Hallelujah. Glory goes on. There's no disease, there's no sickness, there's no sin, there's no unbelief in that, in up there. Because if there is, well, I don't want to go there. I might as well carry on in the world and enjoy it. For a season, that is. That was important, that word.
Yeah.
But allow the word that you hear, because we are so blessed in Full Gospel Assembly. I'm just addressing this assembly now, and ask it to live in your life, because out of us flow these rivers of living water, and these rivers of living water are supernatural, not ordinary water at all. And fourthly and finally, what we hear, ultimately, its aim in your life and my life is to bring about obedience. That is its goal. So all of those other three areas that we've spoke about are ultimately working to bring forthly our obedience to him. Because that is what pleases him. We are not obedient in nature. Therefore, God has to put that new nature within us. That new nature he has put of himself in you and I is to ultimately work obedience.
Because
Jesus was obedient unto death.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He was and is the living word. He was the living word manifested 2,000 years ago, and he was willing to surrender himself over to man whom he had created, to put nails in his hands and his feet, and to abuse him, to blaspheme him, and to place him on a cross. Now, we'll never fully understand that. That is the mind and heart of God. But that's what they were doing. They were nailing, rejecting the word of God, the living word that was speaking through his mouth to Israel. And Israel rejected their Messiah, their king. And that is why you and I, brothers and sisters, are today present, enriched, blessed, receiving this gospel, because Israel should have done that work. She had received sonship. She was to be a custodian of the revelation of Yahweh and to teach the world to walk before God. She failed it, but the church will not fail it, because God has decreed it. And you can be a part of that. We are on the threshold, we are on the brink of the mightiest breakthroughs that the Christian church has believed, prayed for, endured for, been martyred for centuries. You are on the brink of it. Because Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until they see my coming. We're actually over now, the generation. God is tarrying. He's tarrying. A part of that tarrying, as he revealed to me, which broke me, I tarry for you. I want your life right. That broke me. Now, I'm not saying that that's solely for me. That doesn't make me. That's how he revealed it to me. And that's how he's revealing to each one of us and to full gospel assembly. That is why he tarries. Because he so desires we get it right. Mm-hmm. We walk this walk he has predestined for us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,
praise you, Lord.
We thank you for your word. You know how to touch those areas in our heart, in our lives, because we're laid bare before you. That you don't reject us, you don't ridicule us, you don't mock us, laugh at us. Your loving arms are ever there, embraced, to take us in, to help us. You know those weaknesses in our lives, Father. You know the areas where we're wanting, and so on. But you have come to heal the brokenhearted. You have come to proclaim liberty. You have come to set the captives free. And that is our experience, Lord. Without you, we are completely lost. No hope. But you have placed yourself, your word, in us. And of your fullness we have received. Lord, it is absolutely mind-boggling. One cannot get one's mind, intellect around this, but you have said it. And therefore it's to be our experience. Lord, help us to walk a supernatural walk. Help us, Father, to serve and to minister as we're called to do. Let from us, of each of us, flow those rivers of living water, touching lives, healing lives, restoring lives. Let us always be ready to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Let us not hide our lamp under a bushel. But let us be those lights. Father, give us the words. Give us the wisdom. Give us that unction of the Spirit in our daily lives and walk. For Lord, we meet many, many people. And we see many people. Father, we desire to move alongside. We desire to minister. We desire to see souls being brought into the kingdom of God. We desire, Lord, that this church moves forward. For you have provided a lamp for our feet. So there's no excuse that we remain where we are. But that light is ever causing us to take our steps of faith as we look to the kingdom, as we look to Jesus.
She's onward and rushes onward, ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. Onward, ever grow.